Acts chapter 6. We're still in our gift series. Hello, Jim Haynes. Everybody say hi to Jim.
Good morning.
Principal's in the room, so y'all be on your best behavior. And make me look really good.
You look great.
So far. Today we're going to examine, we're in our gift series, by the way, and we're examining the effects of rapid church growth. Finding qualified people helps the church move along. The early church, the days of the early church seemed very difficult. Christians were getting arrested, but the growth was phenomenal. And everything was going really, really well until we get to chapter 6. And there's an internal problem that we're going to discover. There were some discrepancies in how ministry was to take place to some needy widows in the congregation. And as a result, some complaints arose in the congregation. And it could have been disastrous. But the Spirit-filled apostles wisely solved the young church's problem. So when a church grows, you have more people, right? Okay. When you have more people, you have more needs, right? When you have more needs, you have more challenges. So all of these things are coming to a head here. You have administrative, you have logistical problems, you have all sorts of problems that take up the time of those that are in full-time ministry. So rather than neglecting the important aspects of prayer and teaching, the apostles are going to call a group of men to handle this ministry need. Okay, so Jay's going to do our microphone today. At your tables, I want you to answer this question. It's Saturday morning. It's Saturday morning. Would you rather spend your time leading a prayer group with Christians, leading a Bible study, or serving a meal to widows? Or I'll give you a fourth option, none of the above. Ready, go. None of the above or something else. You know. Leading a prayer group, leading a Bible study, serving a meal to widows, or something else. Saturday morning, what would you rather be doing? Okay, let's start over this side of the room. Raise your hand. Jay will come with a microphone. It's Saturday morning. What would you rather be doing?
Because I'm not good at anything else.
Serving a meal, because you're not good at anything else. Okay, good. All right. Anybody else on this side of the room? All right. We'll go to this center side. Center side,
All of the above.
All of the above. So Eric would do everything.
Yeah.
All right. Over here, anybody?
Prayer and serving a meal.
Yeah, okay, Helen, back here.
I speak for the table. We will serve the meal if we don't have to cook it.
You'll serve.
And we will attend the Bible study.
All right. Serve a meal and attend the Bible study. All right. Thank you. All right. Now, I want you to imagine that it's Christmas Day, and you, under the tree, are lots of gifts, presents, and they're beautifully wrapped. Can you visualize that? You got it in your mind? And your children and your grandchildren run to the Christmas tree, and you start handing out the gifts. Have you got that in your mind now?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And your children and grandchildren just sit there with the gift, and they don't open it. Now, has that ever happened? Would that be like a first-time experience? Yeah. That's the way God sometimes feels. Because every Christian has been given a spiritual gift. But if the Christian doesn't open the gift, if the Christian doesn't unwrap the gift, how does God feel about that? I mean, he's given you a gift, right? You are Christians, right? Right?
Right.
If you're a Christian, you've got at least one spiritual gift. So if you're sitting here today saying, well, I just don't have any gifts, if you're a Christian, you have at least one gift. You have at least one gift. All right. The early church experienced problems too. Acts chapter 6, look at verse 1. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained about the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them. Does your Bible say any other word other than responsibility? Reputation? Any other? Business. Task. Okay. Business is the most accurate translation there. Okay. We'll turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a number of priests became obedient to the faith. So, look what's happening. The number of disciples, the number of Christians is increasing. And it made it necessary to organize the church. And some people were being overlooked and some people were complaining. Now, the believers who spoke Hebrew were native Jewish Christians. Okay? These are the native Jewish Christians. They're the locals. The locals. They spoke Aramaic. Now, the believers who are Greek were citizens, were Christians, early believers from the Greek nations, who had probably been converted during Pentecost. All right, so you have these two groups of people that are converging to make one church. Now just look across our room and you can see the diversity in our room, right? It's very diverse group of people. And there developed a class distinction between these two groups of people. The Greek-speaking Christians complained because their widows were being discriminated against the daily distribution of food. Now maybe the money ran out. You know, I don't know. Maybe they needed help. I mean, widows in general, even today, need help, don't they? All right? Widows need help. And maybe today, maybe when this was written, maybe the money had run out. You know, back in the day, the money transferred from the father to the son, not to the wife. So maybe the son was no good and didn't help his mother along. I don't know, but at any rate, these widows had no wealth on their own. They were being neglected. And so early in church history, the widows became worthy of a class of individuals who the church should minister to. And it could have been a language barrier that was going on here. But look how the church responded. They took this seriously to meet the physical needs. All right, number two, as the early church increased, so did its needs. Now I want you to scan verses 2 through 6, and at your tables, respond to this question. What did the disciples do to meet the needs? Ready, go. To meet the needs. Okay, let's start over here, Jay. Linda's got her hand up.
been a Baptist church because they formed a committee.
Yep, I agree. They formed a committee, so it could probably was a Baptist church. All right. Anybody else over on this side? Okay. Right here, Beth, or who? Right there, and David's going to talk.
I was just going to say that they search people that were qualified. They search for people who were qualified, and they prayed. As Ron said, that they formed a committee, and then they appointed others to do the work.
Yeah, okay. So, obviously, the spiritual gift of leadership, you know, took place, you know. Are anybody, I'm going to come back to that leadership. Anybody over here? Anybody over here? About 80% of Christians in the church have the spiritual gift of serving or helps. 80%. Imagine if the church is, if only 20% had the spiritual gift of helps or serving.
That 20% all good.
Yep. Well, we used to say 20% of the people do 80% of the work. You've heard that? All right. Now it's about 12% of the people do about 15% of the work. There's a lot of ministries that go neglected. So I have a very good friend, Dan, who lives in Springfield, Arkansas, has high gift of helps. And if Dan were here today, he would, if he saw dirty dishes in the church kitchen, he would start washing them. Okay? All right? If he saw the chairs kind of misarranged, he would start arranging them. Okay? Now, I don't have a high gift of helps. I have the gift of leadership. It's one of my gifts. All right? So one Sunday morning, an old lady is going to give her testimony in church. Old. I'm not talking like anybody in here. Old lady. You got it? And she's walking to the platform. The pastor and I are sitting on the front pew. Okay? This lady is walking to the platform to give her testimony. Now, there are only 3 steps to get up to the platform. And she's struggling to get up those 3 steps. And the pastor and I are just sitting there, you know, watching her struggle. Yeah, you know. And here Dan's in the choir. He comes running down to the choir loft and helps her up the steps. And I thought, what a great idea. Why didn't I think of that? So sometimes your gift, you have to get knocked in the head to use it. Sometimes you have to be in a situation that makes you uncomfortable in order to use your gift. How many of you, let's show of hands, how many of you would love to go visit some sick person in the hospital and pray with them? You would love to do that. Yeah. Now, how many of you wouldn't love to do it, but you would do it if you were asked to do it, right? Right? Yeah, you do it, all right? You see, there's some things that you are really good at, and quite frankly, and I can tell you from personal experience, there's some things that we're just lousy at doing. Okay? That's why we need everybody working together to make the ministry accomplish its work, all right? So the 12, meaning the apostles, gathered all the rest of the believers together to talk about this problem. And look what they said. It would not be right for us, or it would not be proper for us, to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. What's the ministry of the Word mean? Teaching, preaching. Yeah. All right. It would be impossible for them to do both. How could they take care of the widows at the same time they were preaching? I mean, they're not God, right? They can't be in more than one place at a time. So it could refer to serving food, okay? Notice, Helen, it didn't say cooking the food, okay? It could refer to serving the food. It could simply refer to passing out money to people as they had need, all right? But I want you to note that the apostles did not, look at what they did not say. They did not say, this is beneath us to do that. Notice it doesn't say that. Our work is more important than this. Notice it doesn't say that. They just knew what their priorities were. Their priority was to teach the Word of God. Verse 3, therefore, friends, select from among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, who we may appoint to this task, while we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and serving the Word. Now, there are 5 requirements of these men. What's the first one? What's the first one?
Men.
They're men. You see that? They're men. Okay? They're men. They chose men to do this. All right? Now, what's the second qualification? The second one is they're believers, full of reputation. They're believers. Okay? So, first they had to be men. Second, they had to be Christian. Now, what's the third one? Good reputation. What does that mean? What's a good reputation? Respected.
Character.
Men of good standing. You know, all of those things. All right, what's the fourth one?
Men of prayer.
Solid spiritually, yes. Men of prayer. Full of the Spirit. All right, now what's the last one? Very sad. Wisdom. See that? Full of wisdom. So, men who are believers with good reputations, who are solid spiritually and full of wisdom. That means that they had the ability to apply God's truth in any situation. And 7 is a perfect number. 7 is typical of the number of men that would handle business in the early Jewish communities. Now, since the apostles were called to minister the word and to do prayer, they chose others to administrate the food program, to be administrators of this. And see, each person has got a vital part to play in the role of the church. So, if you find yourself overwhelmed with responsibility of serving, you need to prayerfully determine what is your priority. What's your priority? What's the first thing that I need to do? If you're not in leadership, realize that you do have gifts that can be used by God to advance His kingdom. Now, to be full of the Holy Spirit is not to be an elitist position. It indicates that this person, these individuals, had a healthy, mature Christian life. And these people had obviously demonstrated, or they had shown that the Holy Spirit was working in them. The person who was full of wisdom means that they had common sense, that they knew exactly what to do. And people who carry heavy responsibilities and work with others should have these qualities. So the church needs to look. The church looked for healthy, mature men and women to do ministry just like we do today. So the apostles kept their priorities straight, and they were successful in part because they realized that both tasks are important. The task of meeting the physical needs and the task of meeting the spiritual and emotional needs. So since we can only do one thing, the apostles asked, maybe it would be wise for us to delegate this other ministry to some other people. So for the apostles, their answer was, we need to be spending time praying and teaching the word. And I've said this before, every member is a minister of Jesus Christ. Every member is a minister of Jesus Christ. So right now with me out loud, repeat after me. I am a minister of Jesus Christ. Ready? I am a minister of Jesus Christ. How you feel? Great? How you feel? How you feel? Good? How you feel? Blessed? How you feel? Inadequate. And that's a good answer. That's a good answer because that keeps us humble. That keeps us humble. Challenged. Yes. Say again, Beth.
Guilty because we're not doing it yet.
Guilty because you're not doing enough. Now, let me speak to that. It's easy for, especially in Baptist churches, for staff to find a willing servant and they work you like a dead horse. Right? Right? And if you're not careful, you can find yourself serving in the nursery, taking up the offering, serving, even cooking the widow's meal, right? Cleaning up after the widow's meal, driving a bus, you know, because churches are, Beth, they're guilty of finding someone who's willing to work, and then they load them up like an old mule to get, a rented mule, it was in the news, right? All right. And as a result, a lot of Christians get burnt out. You ever been there? Yeah, sure you have. Sure you have. When I was a minister of education, my first grade Sunday school teacher couple got transferred, said, left town. And I thought, you know, this would be a good idea for me to go into that first grade class. And, you know, I'm the minister of education, and so see how the class is going, check out the curriculum. And so I got the lesson, and it was Jonah. Now, Jonah and I have a lot in common, as I've told you my story, you know, about running from God. This particular Sunday, the class was all boys. Okay? All boys. First grade boys. And so I went to the appliance store, and I got an empty refrigerator box. And we built a boat out of this refrigerator box. And then I got black trash bags, and we draped them over some folding chairs and made the whale's mouth. And the boys took turn being Jonah, getting thrown out of the boat and going into the whale's mouth and getting spit up. You know, it was great. It was great. And I left that day thinking, you know, maybe I've missed my calling. That maybe I should be more of a children's minister. Well, you know, as you read Jonah, you know, it's not very exciting after, you know, the whale story, right? So chapter 2, you know, I was struggling a little bit to teach chapter 2. It's a four-week lesson. And, you know, I mean, I got through it, and I still left feeling, you know, pretty good. Chapter 3, can I just tell you, it was awful. It was awful trying to get these boys to respond to chapter 3 of Jonah. The fourth Sunday rolls around. Still no teacher. I put a note on the door. If nobody signs up to teach this class, I'm canceling the class, you know. Now, why did I put the note up? Huh? Yeah, but why else would I put the note up? Not that I didn't want to do it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. It wasn't my sweet spot. All right? Now, I can teach, right? This means yes. But I couldn't teach effectively those children. You know? So you have to look beyond what is your gift to what is your passion. You know, what do you really want to do? One of the best Sunday school teachers that I ever, adult Sunday school teachers that I ever had a high mercy gift. You know? That's type of person that would visit the hospital. And when the lesson was taught, that mercy gift would just come out. Okay? Just covered the content, but taught from a mercy standpoint. I have another friend that has a high gift of wisdom. And as he would teach, you dare not ask him a question because he had material that he wanted to cover. In fact, one Sunday, I don't remember what he was saying, but I was in the class and somebody's hand went up and said, "Can we pray for my grandfather? I don't think he's saved." And my friend said, "I've got to finish my lesson." You know. And so I was telling that to the teacher with the mercy gift and said, "How would you have handled that?" She said, "Well, I'd have stopped and prayed." Type of thing. So you have to pair your gift with what God is really wanting you to do. All right, so look what happened. Verse 5, this proposal pleased the whole group. And there's a list of men that they chose to do this. Now, Stephen and Philip are famous, right? We learn more about them in the New Testament. Stephen, next chapter, gets killed. He's martyred, first martyr of the Christian faith. Philip is an early evangelist, all right? And these seven men all have Greek names, which lays the foundation that the gospel would be spread to the Greek. And nothing is known about Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenius, or Nicholas. They're never mentioned in the Bible. And so if you don't remember anything else today, remember this. You can be a nobody and still serve Christ. Yes. Over here, Jim. That is not St. Nicholas, no. It's not St. Nicholas. Think about how the church would function if the right people were in the right place for the right reason. Think how the church would function. On your job, in your career, don't you want to hire the right person in the right place for the right... Yeah, of course you did. Of course you did. There's a lady in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. I don't know how old she is, but she has served in the toddler room for 54 years. I don't think dynamite could get her out of the room. All right? And, you know, she was honored one time, and we asked for a show of hands. How many of you were in the nursery with her? And you had grown people, you know, raising their hands. You know, my niece learned to walk in the toddler room that was cared for by this lady, you know. Plus she brings donuts every Sunday, so it was a great room to be in. But for the church to be effective, we need an army of people to carry out the work. Look at verse 6. They had these men stand before the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. Serving God is serious business. And they didn't take this lightly. Now, were these men the first deacons? You know, the word is never used here, but obviously they took on the responsibility of serving, which is the root word of deacon. Number 3, the ministry of the word should never be neglected because of ministry responsibility. So the 12 listened to the needs of the people, and they acted. They delegated the work, and then they gave criteria for choosing the seven men. Verse 7. God's message was preached in ever-widening circles. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. Now here, Luke, as he is known to do, gives us some punctuation marks on what's happening. He reports that the word of God was spreading in ever-widening circles. Now, where did Jesus tell the early Christians to begin their ministry? Acts 1:8. Where did he tell them to begin? Jerusalem. Jerusalem. And in just a very short time, you see how the message is infiltrating beyond Jerusalem to all levels of society. So the work increased, the word spread, at least in part, because the apostles were dedicating most of their energies to that ministry. They could not have imagined, though, what the church would do as it exploded. Now, the gospel still spreads this way today. You don't have to change the world single-handedly. It's enough just to be a part of the team. It's enough just to touch the little circles that you run around in. Because when you touch others, others will touch others. And your part, no matter how insignificant or small you think it may be, is still important to the work of Jesus Christ. Now, Eric mentioned there is an online assessment on our on the church's website, and I want you to, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be wrapping up our study on spiritual gifts. Log on and take it. If you've never discovered it, I take mine once a year to see if my gifts kind of change positions. You know, I keep wanting my mercy gift to get a little higher. You know, and so if you've never done it, you know, do that. And I think it's firstdallas.org/serve. I think is the link. Links in your email that Eric sent out. You know. And, you know, you may just be curious to know what your spiritual gifts are, but I hope you do that. I hope you do that. And as you do that, then we'll share share the results of what comes. What questions do you have of me today about the responsibility of serving or comments? Yes.
I would like to say that I think our, back with what we were speaking of earlier, I think our staff is such a godly group, well-oiled machine. That's why our church works as well as it does.
Church staff has to.
Amazing.
God bless you. Church staff has to function like a team. And ours does. Ours does. And it's one of the friendliest staffs that I've ever served on.
Right. You know, in Sunday school, it's all volunteers. But in the church, I think most of them are paid employees. I don't think there are very many people who work there that are key to the church that are volunteers. So it's a big difference.
Yeah, we have 200 employees, and a lot of volunteers. Yeah. Go to the children's area, you know, sometime, and you'll see volunteers look like ants. They're just, yeah.
But is most of that in the Sunday schools, in the classes, where you have most of the volunteers?
Wednesday night, there's a lot of volunteers on Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, those that sing in the choir are volunteering, you know. And the choir works hard. And orchestra, yeah. Y'all work really hard, you know. Duran's a taskmaster, you know.
Well, the people who stand at the door and greet people,
yeah.
All the greeters are volunteers.
The greeters. And I'll have to tell you, before I accepted a position, Ben told me to come visit the church and make sure you like it. And so I have never done this until that Sunday. I parked in guest parking. I've never done that. You know? And I just have to tell you, you know, I was smothered in a good way by the red vest people. You know, reserved parking. They escorted me and Becky into the worship center to a seat. You know, I think it was on the third row. It was a great seat. You know? And people actually spoke to me. You know, which I've been in some churches where, you know, some people are just, can I just tell you, they're rude. Not here. I haven't found that here. You know, in fact, I want to tell you that there are people who have joined the class, this McLaughlin class, who've come from other classes. They visited other classes, and they said, you know, nobody talked to me. Nobody talked to me. That happened to me here. We visited another class before we came here. And we're introduced as visitors. You know, nobody spoke to us. Yeah. Great class. You know, great teacher. You know. But why would you go somewhere where you're not welcomed? John Bassanio, the former pastor of First Baptist Church in Houston, was called to be their pastor. And so he decided to go incognito on a Wednesday night to check it out. And he went in And he said, you know, whoever was doing the Bible study, watching paint dry was more interesting than listening to this person. And the song they were singing, where's Larry? The song they were singing was Day is Dying in the West. And John said, that's not the only thing that's dying. So he left that Wednesday night thinking, you know, Lord, what are you doing? You know, why would you call me to a church like this? And he's walking downtown Houston, and it's Christmas time, and many of the stores were opened at night for Christmas shopping. And so he walked in a jewelry store, and he was greeted. He was served punch and cookies, you know. And he said if they'd be given an invitation, he'd have joined the jewelry store. You know? So, you know, you can be a servant of Jesus Christ and just be a welcoming face. Riding up on the elevator today was a college student. And can you tell when somebody's lost? You know, you look in their face, you know, and everything. I mean, he didn't have a clue where he's going. And I said, can I help you? He said, I'm looking for Spurgeon Harris Building. So this is Spurgeon Harris Building. And so I'm looking for the college departments, and it's on floor 9. I said, as soon as you get off the 9, there's a sign. Just follow it. Now, I could have done the opposite, right? Nothing. I could just hope it works out, you know. Lots of luck, you know. But you can serve and just be welcoming, you know. But I hope you go online. I hope you take the assessment, and I hope you share it with your friends in here, you know. And, you know, don't worry about somebody's going to look at this and say, oh, we've got a warm body here that we can plug in somewhere, you know. You know, you might be good at a ministry. You never know.
What was the heading for that?
FirstDallas.org, I think it's /serve. Okay. Yeah, First Dallas, spell out first. Is that right, Mary? Yeah, if you open your email and just click on the link. Okay. You know?
Okay. I was teasing. I said they're going to get your name and phone number.
They already have it.
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
You know, growing up under Dr. Criswell at the church, because I've been here since I was born, but I remember one time sitting there up in the balcony, which meant I was a teenager, and he all of a sudden started lambasting the church, and it was because he had gotten a letter from a lady who was a visitor who said that just that. Nobody talked to her, and all W.A. ever preached, you know, was that we were a big country church. We might be big, but he came from a country church, and dadgummit, we were going to act like a country church. So he said, I don't act, you know, with that booming voice way up in the second balcony, boy. It was like he was standing right here. And he said, I don't ever want to get a letter like that again. I don't ever want anybody to say they weren't welcome in this church. I mean, you could have, talk about an E.F. Hutton moment. You could have heard it. And I mean, I'm glad to hear that we are still that way when you said that everybody was welcome in the end.
Yeah.
He'd rise from the grave for that.
Right. And to quote our president, let me be clear.
We're not like that.
That was humor. Don't write me any letters. Every class in our church has a unique purpose, right? They have a unique target. And the class that we visited, it wasn't a class for us. Simple. Okay? Let's just continue to be the most welcoming group of people that y'all are. You know? That y'all are. Keep doing what you're doing. Okay? Keep doing what you're doing.
It ain't broke, don't fix it.
It ain't broke, don't fix it. All right, let's pray. Thank you, God, for the word and how it reminds us about the importance of serving. Thank you for the early church and how they took a problem and resolved it very quickly by finding the right people. We've got to pray that everyone in this room would find their perfect place of service. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.